May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1006. Buried in shadows of the night, we lie till Christ restores the light. Wisdom descends to heal the blind and chase the darkness of the mind. Hymn 1006.
Thank you. us read the word of God together, first from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, the first 9 verses, and then from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. First, reading together from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, we will read the first 9 verses. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, reading from chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us and teach us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, in thy rich mercy, thy providence towards us, preserving us, watching over us through the hours of this another day, bearing testimony once more, Lord, that we are in thy hands, under thy care, under thy keeping, and we thank thee, Lord, that we are under thy watchful eye. And Lord, this is our mercy. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. O Lord, we do pray as thou hast been pleased to bring us through the scenes of this day and unto the time of this midweek evening sacrifice, that thou wouldest be pleased to draw near to us, and in this little company of people that have gathered together around thy word, that they might come, and we do believe, with a living desire and a love to thy name, to be found at thy feet. And Lord, if thou wouldest be pleased to prepare each heart, to open each heart to hear and to receive thy word, as thou didst open the heart of Lydia. Oh, what great mercy, Lord, it is to have a heart opened, that we might each hear thy voice unto us in the gospel. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to speak unto each one of us the words of this life, the precious truths of Jesus and his gospel. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt visit each poor, needy soul, Lord, those, Lord, that are the dependents of thy grace, those, Lord, who come looking up unto thee, Lord, that thou wouldest be pleased to draw their hearts unto thee, and, Lord, a little visitation to come and touch each heart, Lord. Make and reveal known thyself to each one of us, Lord, we pray thee. And oh, we do pray that truly thy word may indeed be implanted into our hearts by and through thy Spirit, Lord, that it may be a good word, that it may be a profitable word, and a word, Lord, that shall prosper in our souls, Lord, not to hear it, Lord, and that it will be that that shall be lost in a moment, but that, O Lord, that it shall be a word through thy Spirit with power and unction that shall have a lasting effect upon us, and that we may be brought, Lord Jesus, to know thee in thy great salvation. Oh, that thou wouldest, Lord, reveal thyself as the Saviour of sinners. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for the good news that it holds. We thank thee, Lord, for the joyful sound that it is, that it, in that joyful sound, is the pardon and forgiveness of sins that is with Jesus and his gospel. And we do pray, Lord, that each soul here this evening hour may know the blessedness and the sweetness of their pardon through his precious sin atoning blood. Lord, we do pray that none shall be left, Lord, in darkness and ignorance of the greatness of thy cross, that doctrine of the Lord Jesus that is made so precious to the souls of sinners. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me, Lord. We want to know the experience and the blessing of that for each of our souls, Lord, because we do believe, Lord, the truth, that each one of thy poor, needy people shall be drawn to thy cross for mercy. O Lord, we do pray then that there may be indeed those this evening hour seeking, Lord, seeking to be finders, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, send none empty away. Send none, Lord, from this gatherings together without some power of thy Spirit resting upon them, Lord, of their need of a Saviour. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that that mercy may indeed come to each that gather. So, Lord, do come to us. We are dependent upon thee, Lord, both he that shall speak and those that shall hear, that thou wilt be pleased to do these things for us. We thank thee then, Lord, for thy mercies this day. Thou hast kept us, preserved us, and watched over us in all our path, preserved us from many dangers, both seen and unseen, and thou hast been pleased to bring us thus far. Lord, do continue to show thy presence to us, Lord, in all our path here below. May we know mingled throughout those days that we live here below, those times and seasons of visitation, Lord, by thyself, to reveal thyself to us, Lord, to draw each of our poor hearts to thee in faith and love, and that we may be enabled, Lord, to seek and to find a little union and communion with thee, Lord, and that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to draw near to us with thy word. Lord, we need thy word. We need the comfort. We need the peace of thy word in our souls. We need thy word to strengthen us with all might by thy spirit in the inner man, Lord. We need thy gracious promises, Lord, to come and support us as we journey forth here below. And we need thy word, Lord, because it is through thy word thou dost speak to us. And thy sheep, they love to hear thy voice, Lord. Oh, truly they do. And Lord, we do pray that this evening hour, that they might hear thy voice, that thou wilt speak unto each one of us, and that we may be blessed in our souls, Lord. And we're journeying forth, Lord. And whether we're, Lord, young, or whether we're more aged, Lord, eternity is before us, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be conscious, Lord, of the truth and the knowledge that our days are with thee, Lord, that number of days that thou wilt bless thy people with, they're unknown to us, Lord, but known to thee, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, help us to live each day unto thee by a true and a living faith. Help us to serve thee all our days, Lord, and do prepare us for thyself, Lord. Oh, prepare us, Lord, for that heaven and glory which thou hast reserved for thy people, Lord. We do not know, Lord, when that time shall appear, but it was a blessing, Lord, to the soul of that dying thief today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, we do pray, we do believe, Lord, that he experienced a little joy and blessing in his soul, and all that faith indeed to believe thy word, and that he should enter into that kingdom and that glory with thee. Oh, Lord, we do pray as we journey on, that we may be enabled betimes, Lord, to contemplate the heaven and the glory that is reserved for us. We need, Lord, thy grace in our hearts, Lord, to be enabled to lay everything down here below, Lord. We do believe that was the time and the season that truly came upon thy servant Job. The blessing and the truth I know, that my Redeemer liveth. And oh, he had such hope, Lord, such expectation in his soul, indeed, that it should be well with him, that he should see that day when he would behold thee and see thee as thou art. And Lord, what a mercy it is to be enabled to commit all to thee, and to have a love and a desire and an admiration for thy name, Lord, and be found ready to leave this earthly scene, Lord, without any bands to hold us. We do need grace, Lord, but we do want to know, Lord, we're poor and needy, and Lord, we're those that suffer the body of death. We're those, Lord, that continually are brought solemnly to sad departings from thee, Lord, a wayward heart, Lord, carnality in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. Oh, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, O Lord. In respect of all these things, Lord, we want to know that it shall be well with us. And we thank thee that we have an advocate that shall bring us to thyself. So, Lord, do undertake for us. keep us close unto thee, Lord, and show thy mercy and goodness, we pray thee, to us. Be with us in our lives and in our families, Lord. Be with us in our workplace, Lord. Help us to be able to labour as unto thee, Lord, and to serve thee and to please thee. And thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies in providence towards us. And Lord, help us to go forth in thy name and be found, Lord, in thy service. So, Lord, be with us and keep us, preserve us here below, Lord, in all our path as we journey on. And do, Lord, rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives, we pray thee. Subdue all sin, Lord, and let not sin have dominion over us, we pray thee, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Watch over thy people here, Lord, as they gather together around thy word week by week and in the means of grace. O Lord, we do pray that their visitations here shall be purposeful, Lord, that, Lord, that there may be a purpose of grace, Lord, in respect of their visitations, Lord, that none that come and gather together here, Lord, shall be lost or perish, Lord. We pray thee, grace is thine, Lord. Oh, do call unto thyself all those ordained to eternal life, those that truly come seeking for mercy, Lord. Do appear for them, Lord. And if there be any, Lord, unconcerned, Lord, or have no interest, Lord, in respect of their never dying immortal souls, oh Lord, grace is thine, thou art able, Lord, to remove the heart of stone, the rebellings and the hardness, and to give a heart of flesh, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear in thy rich mercy then, change hearts, renew sinners, gather them to thyself through thy gospel. And so, Lord, we commit thy church and people here into thine ever-merciful hands. May there be a spiritual prosperity in the souls of those that gather week by week, but also numerically in numbers, Lord. May there be those added and brought in, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt then be with each unable to gather at this time. Be with them where they are, Lord. And we think, Lord, of the children and the little ones, Lord, prayerfully committing them, Lord, into thine ever-merciful hands, that thou wilt be with them, Lord, and their visitations here, Lord, when enabled, or that thou wouldest be pleased to use, Lord, the visitation to, in a secret way, a powerful way, draw them by the cords of thy love unto thyself, that they might know thy love to them. So, Lord, we commit them unto thee. Be with us now, Lord. Grant, Lord, to thy servant thy word. Teach him by thy Spirit what he shall say, Lord. Lead him and guide him, Lord, through thy word. And pray, open the hearts of thy people here to hear and to receive it mixed with faith. And may a precious Christ be revealed to each one of us. Unto you, therefore, which believe, is precious. We ask these mercies with the pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 327. Whence do our mournful thoughts arise, and where's our courage fled? Has restless sin and raging hell struck all our comforts dead? Hymn 327.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would seek to draw your attention to the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and by way of a text to read from verses 9 and 10. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, reading from verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. The words of our text are placed in this fifth chapter of Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, following those things that he spoke before, that the Lord is coming again. Will we be ready in that great day? Will we be one of those that are waiting for him? One of those waiting for him, because we are not those that are asleep, but awake, that we are the children of the light and the children of the day. Dear friends, what a mercy it will be to be one of his children, the children of the light and the children of the day. Grace has changed them from being the children of darkness and the children of the night. What a wonderful mercy it is that verse 4 will never have anything to do with us. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. What a mercy, dear friends, that will be, not to be in darkness, not to remain in ignorance in our minds of the great salvation, the need of our never dying immortal souls, and the great salvation that Jesus came to give to sinners. And so Jesus is coming again. And when the Lord Jesus will come, all the church will be ready. They will be waiting, every one of them. And they will stand justified, whole and complete, through him, through the glorious person that he is. The merits of his life, the merits of his perfect obedience to his heavenly Father, the merits of his cross at Calvary, his pure and holy sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his people. To have the testimony and the witness of those blessings in the soul, every one of his dear people will be ready. But the Lord Jesus will not come until that time cometh when that last elect vessel of mercy shall be gathered in. And dear friends, I do pray that we are each seekers, that we each have an interest in the words of our text. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Well, thinking and meditating about this word, many things came upon my spirit, which I do believe the Lord showed me, and pray that he may be helped me to speak of them this evening. It says, for God, God hath not appointed us to wrath, God. I do believe that here we have a truth in respect of all those that were not to be appointed unto wrath, that God, in his covenant grace, gave the church before time began into the hands of his dearly beloved Son. And all their names were written in heaven. And all these whose names were written in heaven, God hath not appointed us to wrath. That is the great mercy and the great blessing. It was determined or predetermined that God would, through his grace, appear to everyone whose names were inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. It would appear to each and every one in the fullness of time, that they should never be left to the appointment of wrath. And I looked at the meaning of this word wrath in the concordance and as it stands in the Greek, and it means angry or anger. God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7, I believe it is verse 11 or 12. God is angry with the wicked every day. And that is that his wrath will come upon them. What is it? His wrath or anger? It's his divine punishment, dear friends, for sin. The wicked, the sinners in this world, those who live to the pleasing of the flesh, to the lusts of the flesh, to the pleasures of this life, I thought of those words again. I think of them from time to time, but I thought how appropriate they were in respect of the words of our text. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So God knows everyone that shall be fitted to destruction. He knows everyone, and he's long suffering in respect of that. Why is God long-suffering in respect of those that have been fitted or appointed? That is the word that we have here, not appointed, appointed to wrath, vessels of wrath. This is the solemn aspect of the words of our text. And although the words of our text seem to apply that he hath not appointed us to wrath, I just want to show, dear friends, the greatness of our deliverance. Because as we were bound, as we were born into this world, each and every one of us, born dead in trespasses and in sins, born with evil and wicked hearts, every one of us, some glorious change, dear friends, divine change, divine power has come upon some of lost mankind to change them from the awful state and condition that they are born into in this world. I did think of those words in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul opens up the truth of the very solemn place and position that the church at Ephesus were in, but it refers to all of us, dear friends, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, Paul includes himself, dear friends, we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. How very solemn then, dear friends, our place as we are born into this world, children of wrath. Oh, the solemn truth of that that lies within us by nature. But oh, you know, we were not appointed to wrath. We were not appointed to wrath. It may be a conundrum as we understand it. We were children of wrath, and yet we were not appointed to wrath. The Lord knows, and as we have read together, the truth of those that are indeed of the wicked. But if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. That mercy, dear friends, began before time began. It was the undertakings of the dear Lord Jesus in all covenant engagements that not one of his dear people should ever be lost. No. But we have here two people, vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy, and that is all, either the one or the other. What about all the religious of this world then? What about all those that are making a profession today? The false prophets and the teachers. What about all those that are gathering and worshipping at the feet? They believe at the feet of Jesus. What about all those? Are they the wicked? Yes. I just read it. The first verse of hymn 78. Fixed was the eternal state of man ere time its rapid course began. Appointed by God's firm decree to endless joy or misery. either the one or the other. The mercy that is found in respect of those that are the children of wrath, and yes, those that have a profession of religion with a feigned faith. Remember the five foolish virgins. Faith waiting for the Lord, the returning of the bridegroom. Such was their faith. They were, yes, amongst the five wise. But they never entered in, did they? In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord closing on his Sermon on the Mount says this: not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Isn't it a solemn thought, dear friends? There are many that are supposedly worshipping the Lord today, and yet that word belongs to them, that whilst they're supposedly worshipping the Lord, they're working iniquity. Workers of iniquity. These are the words of the Lord, dear friends, not my words. They just came upon my spirit to speak of them, yes. The Lord put it there. But I want to say, dear friends, let us be those that will be steadfast, dear friends, in the scriptures of truth and what the Lord says, his doctrine, his word, his salvation. Let us respect him and him alone. And we must remember that here, Father, Son, and Spirit. And that is what is lacking in much of religion today, dear friends. Father, Son, and Spirit. Now we each have never dying immortal souls. And I pray that the Lord will move us, stir us up to the truth of the words of our text. Give to us an anxious prayer, a cry, to look for mercy, that we might be vessels of mercy, that we might be one of these that God hath not appointed us unto wrath. Wrath, dear friends, is the punishment. And the whole destruction of the soul. A never-ending eternity. In wrath and in destruction. God's appointment for sin, his punishment. And yes, I read on one occasion from one of the Lord's commentators that God is glorified even in respect of his punishment for his wrath and punishment to all sinners, that he must be glorified in that because of his holiness his righteousness, his glory. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Well, dear friends, the Lord opening up this truth, showing to us that God hath not appointed us to wrath. Do pray just before we leave this first part of the subject, that wrath is due upon all sin, all evil, every vain word, every idle word will be judged, dear friends. Every idle word, every idle thought will be judged in that great day. And even if it is but one word, and it is not consistent with God and his righteousness, there will be a judgment upon it. And I show this, dear friends, the great need that this word may not belong to any one of us here, and none that gather in this chapel. And many others whom I preached before. And the Lord knows how I pray in respect of every congregation that I preached before, that his mercy would come. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation then, dear friends, it was a salvation that was shown to us from the beginning. I have made mention of the blessedness of the truth here, God's divine appointments. He knows his people. He loved them from everlasting. And he loved them with an everlasting love. And he knows every one of them. And the great blessing and the mercy, he loved them through his dearly beloved Son, because Jesus did undertake the whole cause and the interest of every one of them before time began. Predestinated to be the children of God, dear friends, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Predestinated, predetermined, predestinated before time. This salvation was shown to us very clearly. The seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. That was God's rich mercy in the beginning of time. That salvation that was shown to us in the person of his dearly beloved Son. Abel understood the blessing in his own soul. Cain and Abel, they made offerings to the Lord. Abel offered one of the flock, the firstlings of the flock, a sacrifice, the shedding of blood. He looked to what God had shown to them, and I believe that he was taught by his parents, and particularly Adam. Cain offered. It was an offering, dear friends, of the earth, something that he'd done or wrought himself. You see, when those skins of clothing were given to our first parents, there was a sacrifice. There was a shedding of blood. And that was the blessing typifying the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman that should come. And Abel's offering was accepted of God. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness, for his faith looked up upon the sacrifice of Jesus for his sins and iniquities. Abraham was given a further testimony that in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. David given a further testimony that through his lines there should be one that should establish his throne forever. One raised up. This is the salvation that was given to the Old Testament church. And their faith looked to Jesus, he that should come. And this is the blessing. There isn't one, dear friends, of the Lord's dear people from the beginning of time to the end of time that shall not know the blessedness of this salvation. The Old Testament saints, they looked to him that should come. It was their faith in him, a believing faith in him that should come. And it was the testimony that they gave. The Lamb of God that should take away the sin of the world. And then we have that glorious truth. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is he now, dear friends. Through the Old Testament dispensation, the gospel light was beginning to shine brighter and brighter. And then this truth. That the Lord Jesus did come. As promised, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Us. For God hath not appointed us, the church, to wrath. And this is the blessing. And Zacharias, when his mouth was opened, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And Jesus had, the angel had only just given the word to Mary that he that should become the salvation of the church, a saviour and a redeemer, his name should be called Jesus. He wasn't yet come forth from the womb. But oh, this is how the faith, dear friends, of the Old Testament saints, for he hath visited us and redeemed his people already. Such was their faith. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The horn of salvation. We know that the horn, it has power and authority, hasn't it? And in respect of this horn in the house of David for salvation, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, because it, when he cried upon the cross, it was finished, it is finished. Dear friends, that was the horn of his salvation, because it was there that all his enemies were conquered, and the enemies of the church, every one of them. But this is the mercy. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And let us just see this salvation, dear friends, in Simeon. Another one just comes into mind as well. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, this dear, pure, holy child in the arms of Simeon, he knew him to be his sacrifice for his sins and his iniquities, and by faith he beheld him as that one who should make sacrifice for his sins and his iniquities. Wonderful truth, dear friends. But Jesus came and preached the gospel, and I see it in this same gospel according to Luke. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And dear friends, he abode at the house of Zacchaeus. And see the confession of Zacchaeus. He said, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That was grace, wasn't it? Why, the man was very rich, and he held on to his money. He wanted for nothing. Now he's ready to be rid of it. It was a profession of his faith, dear friends, because Jesus spoke salvation into his soul. And when sins are pardoned, dear friends, then that soul will be blessed indeed. And that soul will be in submission to Christ and to his will. And Jesus said unto him, bearing testimony to his faith, this day is salvation come to this house. Salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. It is in Jesus. There is no other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Salvation in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And I do pray, dear friends, that we may all be found on praying ground in respect of this great salvation, because there is nothing more important to us, more important, dear friends, than all our concerns here below. Everything that matters to us in our daily lives, dear friends, we commit it to the Lord. But this is our greatest mercy, our never-dying immortal souls. What if we should gain the whole world and lose our own soul? As we are ready to work in our labours here below, and ambitious, which is right, dear friends, and wanting, dear friends, to do those things that are good. We're wanting, dear friends, to do those things for in our lives here below, whereby we shall continue to labour, and yes, to prosper. Nothing wrong with that, if it's to the Lord. But as we might be diligent in these things, diligent to make a success of things, if the Lord will, and yet, have we got something more important than these even for our never-dying immortal souls? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've spoken of salvation. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Well, how did he do it? How did he accomplish salvation? How did he bring it? Well, it's in the next words of our text, isn't it? Who died for us? We've spoken the fact that he came, fulfilled all prophecy, and yes, prophecy in also types and shadows. Who died for us? Oh, dear friends, we have spoken of his life, a little of his life. And that salvation that the saints of old rejoiced in, and how that Zacchaeus was blessed with this salvation. But this salvation, dear friends, came by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, that should take away the sin of the world. You know that through the Old Testament dispensation, it was the morning and the evening sacrifices, the lamb that had to be taken. Then we have the Passover lamb, that was observed annually by the testimony of Moses, as the Lord gave him the word, the Lamb of God. And then, dear friends, we have this truth. We've spoken of Jesus. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He came in our nature, dear friends, except sin. And this, dear friends, was his greatest humiliation. He laid aside his glory, you see, and he took upon himself the nature of the brethren, except sin. But it was also this truth, his greatest condescension, dear friends, to come into this sin-cursed world. And dear friends, that is all his pure and holy eyes saw, isn't it? Sin, sin, sin. Scorn, mockery, evil. Solemn truth, but it's true. But he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And Jesus, yes, he went forth and he knew what was before him. But dear friends, his eyes were, as it were, set as a flint to go forth to Jerusalem. There was a joy with the Lord Jesus, the joy that was set before him, not just the glory which he would have with his heavenly Father when indeed he hath wrought salvation for his people upon his cross, but the joy of the church, dear friends, everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him. His heavenly Father gave them into the hands of Jesus, and here he is, a little lower than the angels. Just like you and I, except sin. for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What does it mean when it says for every man? I read further. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. This is the blessing, isn't it, of the words of our text? But to obtain salvation. And the Lord knows everyone whom he would suffer, bleed and die for. Dear friends, he was to become their surety, that they should never suffer or never be appointed to this wrath of God. Never. To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That was how that wrath was turned away, dear friends. And that he should become the captain of our salvation. Glorious truth. And I cannot tell you. I just love when the Spirit of the Lord will draw my poor soul to his cross. It is the whole wonderment of grace to a sinner. I do love to come there. And in my meditations, he does break up my poor soul. Truthfully. Because, dear friends, it was for sin, for sinners. And that just wrath of God, that punishment of God which was due upon us for sin. I just come to another word, dear friends. In Isaiah. And in chapter 12, it's only a short chapter. But it does hold some precious truths, because the previous chapter speaks of, and in that day. And it's Jesus that is shown to us in the 11th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. It's the gospel that is here. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Oh, he will come. He will gather every one of them. And yet they're under this wrath of God as we're born into this world, because we're the children of wrath. However could it be done? The experience of it is in the first words of chapter 12, dear friends. In that day, that same day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. That word angry meaning wrath. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Dear friends, that is what Jesus came to do upon the cross at Calvary, to turn away God's wrath, to turn that anger from us. And it isn't that God had anger upon his church and people, because he gave them to Christ before time began, for salvation, and there he ever loved them. But I'm stating our condition by nature, that we were the children of wrath as all others, as we were born into this world. You see, we were the children of wrath. And yet this truth, dear friends, it's what is known and felt in the soul, the deservings of this wrath that will come upon us as sinners, as we through the Spirit are taught and shown, dear friends, the awfulness of our sin. We will know and experience that belonging to us was but the deservings of this wrath, and yet through Christ should never touch us. Yes, it is what we deserve, dear friends. We deserved, dear friends, an eternity in hell. But Jesus, through his death, oh, he suffered, dear friends. And it wasn't until he had passed through that experience, it is finished, that there the wrath of God, the just hell that we deserved, was put from us, dear friends. That's what it was. It was put from us. The church. And in his awful sufferings and death, what he endured, what he suffered, the bruises, the wounds, the stripes, the nails, the crown of thorns, the crucifixion, the agonies of his most holy soul. In that was not only the sins of the church were put away, but God's wrath and punishment for our sins and iniquities. Who died for us. And this is the mercy. Dear friends, do pray that you might be one of those, and pray earnestly that grace and mercy may come. It's free, it's full, salvation is free. Bring nothing in thy hand. I often think of a beautiful little hymn, dear friends. And I think each and every one of the Lord's dear people in some measure will be brought to know some experience of this hymn. 191, just a few verses. Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace? Oh, how could he so sweetly smile on such a wretch as I who his name did once revile and his dear truth deny? But 'twas because he loved my soul, because he died for me, because that nothing could control his great, his firm decree. What a mercy, dear friends, to be able to repeat in some measure the words of that hymn. Unworthy to receive any part of it, dear friends. This great grace, this mercy, this salvation. And it's through a suffering Christ that he should become surety for our souls. Lay down his life. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, giveth it so willingly and lovingly. And there's no greater love, is there, than Jesus dying upon the cross for sinners? No. Who died for us? Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Well, this word wake, dear friends, and this word sleep, wake means to watch. And sleep means, well, another word for it is to be dead. When the Lord Jesus comes, we will either be the one or the other. But it matters not which. Not at all, because the last words declare we should live together with him, whether we wake or sleep. That is the glory, dear friends, of Jesus upon the cross at Calvary. And in verse 6 it says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Well, that is what these words are. Wake or sleep, watch or sleep. Well, we're awake, dear friends. We're watching and we're waiting for the glorious appearing of the dear Lord Jesus. We are, aren't we? He's coming again. You see, it should often be in our prayers, and it should often, as the Lord, his Spirit will come upon us and lead us and gently bring us into the truth and the knowledge that he is coming again. It will be the glory, dear friends, of this salvation, because it is a salvation unto the uttermost, meaning everlasting life. You see, and we are waiting then. Now, the previous words, dear friends, some are sleeping in Jesus. Well, dear friends, they are those that have gone before us. We do not know whether we shall come to that place. We do not know when the Lord will remove, but we're sleeping. And I like the terminology of that, because it means that we shall rise again and be with him. Sleeping, you see, just as a man may or a woman may be sleeping, to rise up again. And that is how it will be with the church in that great day, when the Lord will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And we do know that there are those, dear friends, whom we have known, whom we have worshipped with, whom we have loved for the truth's sake. They're sleeping. Ah, but dear friends, this is the blessing that is before them. And I do believe that they would have known somewhat of it in their life and experience as the Lord led them into the truth of it, that we should live together with him. And it means, dear friends, that he is coming again. Will this be our portion, dear friends? That we shall be with him, to behold him, the glory of his person, the Lamb of God in the midst of the throne. Oh, will we behold him? Will we be those that shall admire him, dear friends, like we have never beheld him before, in all the glory of his person, the blessedness of his person? No more sorrow, no more sin, no more affliction, no more persecution, no more trials, you see. Pure, holy communion. And you know, we shall admire him and see him and behold him as he is. Dear friends, we won't be looking at all those round about him, all the brethren that have been brought to glory. No, it will be him in the midst of the throne, none other. Just thought I'd seen that somewhere, dear friends. I'd just like to see the blessing and the mercy of it. But it is true. Maybe in the following. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. He will be admired, dear friends. We will see the glory of his person, and our eyes will be steadfast, dear friends. There'll be nothing, dear friends, of the old nature, nothing whatsoever. This mortal shall be put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption, dear friends. We will not know relationships as we know them now. The Lord forbid that we should ever have any idea of that. It will be the Lamb in the midst of the throne. That will be the blessing. We thank God for our relationships. We thank Him for the union that we have together, yes. But dear friends, in this great day here, we should live together with Him an eternity. We cannot just put these things into our poor minds, but we shall see Him as He is and behold Him. And I just close now, dear friends, this truth. We read from the 17th, where Paul came amongst this church at Thessalonica and he preached the gospel, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed. Dear friends, I pray that everyone that worships here may believe through the grace of our God, dear friends. Oh, may the Lord come in His rich mercy and salvation, redeem and save us from our sins and iniquities, and turn away this wrath that belongeth to us in our awful state by nature. Well, may the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening. Mr. Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And on Monday evening, there will be a prayer meeting for the nation. And Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 961. Be still, my heart. These anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict His gracious word. Hymn 961.
Thank you.
pray that thou wilt be pleased to enlighten our poor hearts into the blessedness of thy person for our salvation, and some of them believed. May thy name have all the glory. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for evermore. Amen.